Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Mike Mulligan made a musical comp about Caleb Williams, and I was like, damn it, why didn't I think of that?
The play call is trying to get the player to buy into his scheme. Caleb as a player is almost like this great jazz musician, and now he's trying to lead the orchestra, and those are contradictory ideas.
Caleb is a jazz musician who's being asked to lead the orchestra. So, like, now be the conductor.
Conductor, we have a problem.
But you just gotta be rock solid. They gotta trust you and your stability and your leadership and your time. You gotta always be on time. They look to you to be on time. So you can't be a guy who's like fancy free and playing around. You gotta be locked and loaded. I think it's a beautiful musical analogy from Mike Mulligan.
If you deliberately sabotage my band, I will like a pig. Now, are you a rusher, or are you a dragger, or are you going to be on my time?
I think about the Bugs Bunny skit with the opera singer, with Ben Johnson being Bugs Bunny and Caleb being the opera singer.
Leopold.
Where Bugs is like, no, oh, get up here. No, get on up here. Let's see it.
I need a conductor, but I got a guy who thinks he's Coltrane.
It's one of the nicknames Murph called me.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Are you trying to steal my woman?
I beg your pardon.
You heard me, Coltrane.
Coltrane?
What?
Did you just call me Coltrane?
No.
You didn't?
No. But if I did, you wouldn't be able to do anything about it, would you?
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We've got you until Bulls basketball tonight. That's right, they're in Detroit. So we are cut short by a couple of minutes, and then we'll get you to Bulls basketball. There's a lot for us to do on the show today. The GM meetings are going on. So we got to check in with the president of baseball operations for the Cubs. That's happening momentarily. There will be a ton of Bears conversation and NFL conversation on today's show, including a reaction that I wasn't expecting from something that we did yesterday, but we'll get to that later on. Alex is here. He's tall. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
It is a great day because Scott Boras is delivering puns about the biggest names in baseball, and Chris Tannehill has dissected them all and will deliver the comedy genius, the stylings of Scott Boras, literally standing on a soapbox at the GM meetings.
Is Richard Hightower opening for him?
Oh, man. Now, that's a hell of a double bill right there. But no, you know who stands right next to Boras and offers the immediate responses?
Bruce.
The cackles, the initial cackles will be that of Bruce Levine. You'll hear that stuff in the 4 o'clock hour.
I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
Because now it's made for me. It's gone from being annoying. It's worked all the way around to being hilarious.
It's like when Johnny Carson used to flub a line in the monologue, and then he would just stand there and look at you until you realized he was in on the joke of how bad the joke was, and eventually you'd laugh again. Folks, if you get that Johnny Carson reference, make sure your affairs are in order.
Please make sure that your affairs are in order.
Please take care of your business.
We have to tell people that too often, which means maybe we should get our affairs in order.
Boy, that's a good thing. That's a good point by you. We will get our affairs in order. Jed Hoyer's getting his affairs in order, or is he? Or is he, Lawrence? The GM meetings have begun. The baseball people are there. They're all hanging around. They're talking about stuff.
Vegas at the Cosmo.
Dude, have some fun, shall we?
It's a good time.
And the awards show is there. Our buddy Roy Wood Jr. hosting that awards show. He's been demoted to co-host now, in
Mookie
his words.
Mookie Betts does everything well.
Roy, we're going to have to let Mookie co-host that with you.
Roy, we were looking at the tape, and how can we keep this guy off the field?
He's too good.
He's too good.
He's converted to shortstop. Now he's converting to host.
Yeah, you're going to have to move over to third base.
All right. Whatever.
Fine.
I'll be your Max Muncy. So Jed was talking about what the Cubs' needs are, and it is pitching, and they're going to go after pitching, and they're going to be creative as they hunt pitching. Okay, I'm here for that. You know I think you need it. You know everybody thinks you need it. And you're trying to get to the next level. What he doesn't think they need is offense, and I just don't get it.
Largest focus, I think, will be on pitching. I think that's obvious. Just a look at our depth chart. That, you know, I think we're in pretty good position for, on the position player side. On the pitching side, we're thinner. I feel like from an offensive standpoint, you know, we could kind of play a game tomorrow if we needed to. You know, that we have players at every position, whether you know. Move, say, back in the outfield. You know, we have all those spots. And so will we look to move things around? Will we look to add? Of course. But, you know, it's not the level of urgency is not nearly as high as on the pitching side. I think we realize that we need to add. But we'll look at a lot of different angles offensively. Like I said, we can get better. We should try to get better. But like I said, like if the status quo is in a pretty good position. I think, you know, the pitching wise, we need to make additions and we need to get better.
So you need to get better on offense too, sir. Mm-hmm. You lost Kyle Tucker.
Not yet, but probably.
You'll be losing Kyle Tucker. There are five teams that have a shot for Kyle Tucker. Maybe six. Maybe there'll be a mystery team. Call it seven. I don't think you're one of them. I don't think that's going to happen. Nobody else around the league does. So, okay, you're going to survive that by moving Saya back to the outfield, and I feel better about Saya defensively than I have, and you're going to have, you know...
A space open for a DH-type player?
Are you going to... Owen Casey, Moises Ballesteros, going to have roles on this team? I'm cool with that. But you got to get better, and you have to at least get to where you were without Kyle Tucker, and assuming that's going to be the case and we could play a game tomorrow. Yeah, you could field a team tomorrow. You got to get better and you should be having way more of an active mindset on offense. And I'll give you the position, Lawrence. I'll give you the position. It's third base. Don't just get married to the Matt Shaw idea because you feel better about him at the end of the year than you did in the first half and you want to prove to the world that you kept the right guy when you sent Cam Smith to Houston, or whatever your reasons are, or that Matt Shaw is a good soldier who played really good defense and did show you some potential. That's all nice.
And did the stuff, like went to the minors and worked on some things, and there were moments you're like, oh, I think he's got it. And then there were moments you're like, he ain't got it.
You don't got to hand that guy a job just because you feel like you want to hand that guy a job. You can go out and get better, and it doesn't have to be Alex Bregman in some five-year, $150 million deal. It could be.
Although that would be nice.
Sure, but how about Eugenio Suarez in a two-year, $60 million deal? You're telling me you wouldn't consider that? Are you only – how about the Japanese third baseman who can also play first, who's posting, that legit power hitter in his late 20s? You're telling me you're not even going to consider these things? That is foolish. Third base is a spot where you could get better any number of ways, and Matt Shaw could be what he would be on the Dodgers or what he would be on the Mets, which is excellent depth, phenomenal depth. A guy who might play a lot, could play a few different places perhaps, but the bottom of your roster does not just have to be role players that you use once a week. They can be good players who can play all over for you, like the good, seriously perfected rosters do. Don't just hand the dude the job. And I don't, there's not a lot of other spots, but you know what you do have, by the way? You got a lot of spots where the projections are going to say they're going to regress. Every projection is going to say that Carson Kelly is not going to give you what was basically a career year. Every projection is going to say that most of your guys are going to regress. That guys like Michael Bush, you're going to count on another 140 WRC plus season from Michael Bush? I'd like to believe it.
I feel okay about Michael Bush more so than Carson Kelly.
Are you going to count on Pete Crow Armstrong to be everything that he was over the season in total after showing you what he showed in the second half?
These are legitimate questions, dude.
You're going to count on Nico Horner? Maybe.
Yes.
Okay. All right. There's your guy.
I always count on Nico Horner.
But I mean, seriously, all of the projections via Steamer, I'll say that's one, have everybody regressing except Matt Shaw. All of them. They have Carson Kelly dropping. They have Bush dropping. They have Nico dropping a little bit.
I mean, Dansby is a guy that, not that his numbers were great, but he is getting older at the position that stresses you the most.
Every single 2026 Steamer projection for your position players has them regressing, except for Matt Shaw. You should be trying to get better in free agency and then via coaching like the Blue Jays did. So don't tell me you're set. I didn't like hearing that.
Clearly. You were upset, sir.
I was upset hearing that. Come on, man. It's your windows right now. Go get better. Go get better.
I agree with you. You know my feeling on this.
I suspect I do.
Bully these hoes.
I knew it was coming.
I'm waiting for the Cubs to do it, and they just won't do it.
Well.
And I agree with you that the position, that I think you can get better at right field / DH, depending on how you're constructed.
Of course you could. Moises could be a bench bat. Casey could be a fourth or fifth outfielder bench bat.
But third base is where your offensive hole is. And maybe Shaw ends up getting better, and it becomes a Michael Bush situation, and you're happy with the guys that you've got at the corners. I just feel like the time is now.
Yeah, the time is now, man. I'm not trying to harsh on Michael Bush or on anybody that showed you some possibilities last year. I'm just saying you ought to be thinking about getting better.
I don't like that he said that publicly
Me neither. Me neither. He did say we'll be open and whatever, but like, seriously, is everything going to be on a one-year expenditure? Like, are they not going to do 2 years even? And if they do that, are they not going to do it for position players? Is this what I'm led to believe here?
Okay, so catch everyone up on this, because we've been talking about this as a whole thing throughout the season. But let's say that you've been a Bears drunk Cub fan for a while. And you're like, wait, what are those two guys talking about? Why would the Cubs only do 1 year?
Because after this coming season, there's bound to be a work stoppage of some kind as they negotiate a new collective bargaining agreement. And there is a thought that they're going to push for a salary cap and a salary floor, and they'd be willing to even miss a season while they wait that out.
So not no one, but the Cubs might not want to be in a position where they have already given away long-term contract money without seeing what the new reality is going to be.
Correct. And there's going to be a bunch of franchises that act with that theory in mind, and there'll be a few franchises that do not. And it makes this offseason interesting in that way. So is it only a one-year deal for some of these guys that they're going for? Is Jed that hamstrung? I don't want to believe that.
Well, that's why like the Eugenio Suarez thing is interesting to me. Because yes, it's an older player, but it's a productive one, and he's got something that you need, some slug at a position where you could use some slug.
And he's old enough that you could probably get away with the 1-1. Probably get away with the 1 year, and then he's got an option on the back end.
Jack up that money in that first season and be like, hey, what do you think?
Yeah. So if that's a possibility, would you say that we're set? You know, if you're even going to consider that, would you say we could play a game tomorrow?
They could.
I don't know if they win that game tomorrow.
Well, the last time we saw them, they didn't.
Depends who's pitching, I guess.
And they didn't really hit in that game either.
No, they didn't.
So that's a thing.
All right. So there's your baseball.
Here's Blanco.
Folks, here's Blanco. Is Lawrence Holmes code for, that's just, we're just going to have to live with that. Like, all right, next guy's coming up.
That's Hawks. It's a Hawkism that I use in everyday life. Someone says, all right, I'm like, here's Blanco.
Here's Blanco.
I didn't know we had it. All right.
Teddy has everything.
I got the full thing on my computer somewhere. Like, I think the whole exchange.
If Hawk said it, Tanny has it.
And, yes.
And so it's essentially what it is. Like, all right, we're done with that conversation.
So if anyone says, all right, in front of me, I always respond with, here's Blanco.
That's great. It's kind of, let's like I like to say, when everybody's got different ideas, I like to say, and candlesticks make a nice gift. Okay, let's go. Let's break.
Bull Durham.
Yeah, to wrap up the mound conference and move on back to the ball game.
Here's Blanco.
Exactly, Tanny. When we come back, we were talking about winning ugly. And after we talked about winning ugly, there was an example of winning ugly. Are the two things connected? We'll explain next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
But don't apologize for a win in this league, guys. Don't apologize. We did what we had to do.
Winning ugly, shout out to Bubba Sparks, is a thing that has been done by the league's best team for a couple of years now with the Eagles. They win ugly, Speaks.
Yeah, they really, they win. It's what they do.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts often will have weeks where he doesn't produce for large portions of the game in terms of gaudy numbers and an offense that moves the ball, but they find a way, don't they?
They do, and I know that it's led to some conversation about A.J. Brown and whether or not he's happy. And if you have a player that is winning football games and making all the money, because he got all the money once he got traded from Tennessee, and winning a Super Bowl, if he's not happy, that's not you. That's him. That if you can't see that, look at this thing that you're part of. I get it is not always aesthetically pleasing. The brand of football that the Eagles play. And I bring this up because of what we talked about with the Bears. That there seems to be a test of whether or not it is aesthetically pleasing when the Bears win. And I look at the Eagles and go, I kind of like them being like, we don't care.
I think a lot of their fans do. I think their fans get worried. Their fans see it and they're like, man, we're paying a lot for this offense. Like, it's a very expensive offense there in Philly with the Barkley money and the Hurts money and the A.J. Brown money. Devontae Smith get paid? I think so,
as
right?
He should.
Yeah. So, like, Lane Thomas, who got injured the other night, but, like, they do find a way. But I wonder if their fans go through it or not. I think, look, your point is incredibly valid, especially at this time of year, man. That you've just find a way and keep the record where it needs to be until hopefully you find yourself and play your best ball. Isn't that the Chiefs' way over the last couple of years too?
The Chiefs seem to be doing it in a different way where like, oh well, yeah, and you're right, but I'm saying that with them, because of Mahomes, it might look a little bit more wrapped, like a better wrapped present, because Mahomes does one crazy thing a game that makes you go, oh my God, I didn't know the quarterbacks were allowed to do that type of stuff. Yeah. But at the end, it's the effectiveness. It's easier to accept when the team wins it all. And I get that. When it comes to us talking about that as it pertains to the Bears, mm-hmm. if you're sitting on a Super Bowl ring or a Super Bowl appearance, it's easier to accept, yeah, they're winning ugly, and when the time is right, they'll do what they need to do to win. I just look at the Bears and with the promise of jetpacks, and I know that plays a role too, with the promise of jetpacks with the quarterback, if the quarterback is able to engineer a win when it looked like you were going to lose, sure, I would prefer that it would be easier.
Mm-hmm.
But if at the end of it, you have the guy that's able to pull your ass out of the fire, that means something to me.
They had 183 net passing yards, did the Eagles in Green Bay. 13 first downs. They gave Saquon Barkley the ball 22 times, and he had 60 yards. 60 yards on 22 carries.
He did come up with a big catch, though.
Yes, there was a 28-yard gain that he had. But, you know, and A.J. Brown only targeted 3 times, continuing that.
But when they were trying to put the kill shot together, he was the kill shot.
And we've seen that all year, where they will go to him to be the kill shot. Hey, man, Howie Roseman said it after the deadline when asked if they thought about trading A.J. Brown. He said, he's too important to winning. That's what it's about. It's the threat and fear that having a guy like A.J. Brown can provide. It's, you know, Rome Odunze got like a little starter crash course in what it's like to be a capable wide receiver in the NFL and not get targeted at all, not get used, but have your team win. And Rome responded beautifully.
Yes.
And we're not surprised, having known about Rome what we thought we've known since he was scouted from Washington. I remember hearing some incredible things about him. I agree with you that if A.J. Brown's got a problem with it, it's on him. But the lesson to be learned here for Bears fans is, like, even the Super Bowl winner has to do what the Bears have done the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you have no control over your schedule. I saw I posed the idea of this morning on one of the Nationals on ESPN. They were like, are the Bears good, or was their schedule easy? And other than 3 games, the schedule that they play is the schedule that every team in the NFC North plays. Now, maybe you have gotten lucky at the times that you've played them, but you thought you got lucky at the time you played Baltimore and you lost. This league is like that. And so you should never apologize for wins. Like, never. And seeing the Bears in a position where people can dream, and you can look at the last 8 games, and for me, the number is 10. Can you find 10?
I agree.
Can you find 4?
From now, it's can you find 4?
Can you find 4 out of the next 8? That's up to you on how you feel about it. I do think that this week should be a game that we expect them to win.
We haven't turned the page yet, Lawrence. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what kind of game you're talking about. We're going to turn the page later on. We're also going to talk to Mark Grody with the latest from Halas Hall at 5 o'clock. We do have an injury report, though. Josh Blackwell practiced in full so after the concussion, so that should help special teams. Cole Kmet, limited, practiced. Dominique Robinson, limited. So maybe he's back to help defensive line depth. DeAndre Swift.
Cole Kmet did work last week. We haven't talked about it enough, and we've talked about it. He did work last week. So if he's getting one of those, hey man, take an extra day to get yourself right days.
But at least it was limited. That extra day thing you're talking about, the Bears Wednesday tradition now.
Grady Jarrett.
8 different players.
Who got it?
Kevin Byard got rest.
Old.
Jaquan Brisker got a back. He didn't practice. Grady Jarrett, rest.
Old.
DJ Moore, shoulder.
And probably rest. Old.
Rome Odunze, ankle.
Young.
That's right. No, but the last 2 weeks he's done the Wednesday no practice thing, right? Tyreek Stevenson, shoulder. Jahdae Walker, concussion.
Don't like that.
And then TJ Edwards, again, did not practice with a hand in the hamstring. I don't like that. That's the one that's most concerning to me.
You'd love to have him back for this game. You'd love to. But if not, you can make do. I know this could be played on a loop at some point. I just don't think the kid in Minnesota is good.
McCarthy? That's who they're playing?
We haven't turned the page yet.
Oh, you're right. My bad.
What about 9? Maybe your thoughts on 9 during Turn the Page.
It's a different guy. Completely different guy.
Different guy.
Different mindset.
Just like Parkins and Spiegel was a different show than Spiegel and Parkins.
Very different show.
They were called 9. 9 comes out and...
That's a guy. That's a man talking about himself, for the record.
You see the faces that he makes? When he gets in the... Yeah. Those are mean faces. Feisty. After throwing for $1.30.
Scouts love that. When you show him a different face.
He has a good face. He's got a pretty girlfriend. It means he's got confidence.
He's had pretty much the same girlfriend the entire time. Like Mike Gundy said about...
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. There were some times.
There was some time. They were on a break there for a while, and that's a long story.
Speaking of long stories, let's talk about Kenny Mayne.
Yeah, Kenny Mayne is a hilarious and interesting human, and we should discuss things with him.
If you love Kenny Mayne, and even if you don't, you're going to love this segment next here on The Score.
Let's go, Mayne.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.